Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And welcome into the Friday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063 The Game, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. And what could be the last show we ever do, Joe? Snowpocalypse here in the Nashville area. Now, look, I woke up, went outside, nothing yet for us. I'm watching the local news outlets here. It's coming. It kind of looks like there's a snow dome over the top of where we are right now, but it's coming. How we doing, Joe?
I'm good. I did go to the grocery store just to kind of almost for the fun of it yesterday, just to see like what would be picked over, you know. Like I grabbed a couple things. I grabbed like some kielbasa and stuff, you know. But yeah, it's significant. So I think, did I hear right that the entire state is off of school today?
I mean, that sounds right. I mean, I know this.
It makes sense.
You know, I've joked about this before, but, you know, Jim Cantore from the Weather Channel, when that dude shows up, it generally speaking means that bad things are about to happen. Well, Jim Cantore is in our city today. So
really?
I saw that yesterday, and I was like, oh, no. Cantore's here. And by the way, I love Jim Cantore. I think he's one of the best broadcasters at what he does in all of the United States of America. But when I saw him traversing around Broadway yesterday, I knew we were in trouble.
Yeah, usually that guy's like holding on with one arm on a like a palm tree as he's about to get like whisked into the Gulf of Mexico. Huh, man. So maybe it's worse than I thought. I shouldn't make fun of this.
It may not speak well for what we could see later today. I don't know.
I should have bought more stuff yesterday. Jeez.
Keyser, you had to drive in there this morning, and yep. I guess you're going to have to drive out eventually because you're tougher than we are.
Yep.
How are we feeling?
Hey, I think I'll be fine. You know, I've done this numerous times where I've come in either for a midday program or the morning show with you guys, so I feel pretty confident that I can get home and take my confident route as well. So I think I should be fine.
Are you prepared, if need be, to spend all weekend at our radio station? Is that something that you're looking forward to doing?
I mean, if I absolutely was forced to, could I do it? Yes. You just might need to maybe send me some food somehow, maybe. I don't know. But for the time being,
you got a vending machine, pal.
Yeah, that's true too. Yeah.
Did you bring anything?
Yeah, I mean, I have my breakfast and I brought a bottle of water just because.
But well, good, like a toothbrush, clothes, no, nothing like that.
I mean, I got a blanket in my truck, but that's about it.
This could get rowdy. It could get rowdy around there.
I'll be all right.
See how it goes.
I'll make it home.
If you need to, you know, let us go non-produced in the 8 o'clock hour, we can just play Berserker over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of reaction to that yesterday.
The same 5 second drop for 60 minutes. Great.
Yeah. I mean, why not?
Came up with some new verses. I'll try them out on you guys later.
Oh, good.
Is it any better than your Rex rap?
Wow.
I mean, that's a high bar. I don't know. I'll let you judge.
Are you rolling down the street in a Hyundai Tucson?
Oh, boy. That's a good one.
Thank you. Thanks for bringing that up.
We're due for another rap here on the program. We will keep you updated as best as possible throughout the day on the snow as it moves in. I'm watching Fox 17. And the last, the weather cam that they showed, it was in Dixon. So the snow has arrived in Dixon. So not that far away from the Nashville area. So we'll keep you updated on all that. We got a lot to get into today on the program. Stilly will be with us at 7 o'clock. Jared Stillman, get his thoughts on the week that has been for the Tennessee Titans. Because what a week it's been. Teron Davenport will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll also get into the Titans with him as well. Joe, the news of the day yesterday, the hits just keep coming for this organization. What a week it's been. You're 3-14. You've got the number one overall pick. You fire the general manager. There's this weird structure moving forward with Chad Brinker. We've talked all week about that. And then it was announced yesterday, Joe, that Mike Keith, who has been your play-by-play man on the radio since you came to Nashville and is probably the best ambassador for the organization that you've had throughout that entire time, at least on a consistent basis, he is now leaving the Tennessee Titans and is becoming the next voice of the Tennessee Volunteers. Now, we talked about that possibility at the time when it was announced that Bob Kessling was going to retire. Mike Keith made a lot of sense. Mike Keith went to Tennessee. Mike Keith has deep roots with the University of Tennessee. But some people thought he would never do it. Some people thought he wouldn't leave the Titans to go back to be the voice of the Tennessee Volunteers, and now he is. So, Joe, I'll give you the floor. Your reaction to what you saw yesterday, the news that Mike Keith is leaving the Titans and that he's becoming the next voice of the Tennessee Volunteers.
I'm not hugely surprised. We've talked about it a few times. I'm not hugely surprised. It does make for just, my goodness, what a week. All the stuff that's gone on, the weirdest possible choice again by Amy Adams Strunk. Then you have your 25th anniversary, right? Of the greatest play in franchise history sandwiched amid this, called by this guy. Then he says, and see you later, folks. So I'm not hugely surprised. I did wonder, although it'd be tough to pull off, like, would he possibly try to do both? There are some people who have done both. West Durham is one that comes on, but again, Georgia Tech and the Falcons are in the same city,
right?
That's where it's different. And of course, doing both would totally change the role of the Titans, because he does so much with the Titans. I mean, he is beyond play by play, a great play by play guy, an ambassador. I mean, he's involved in everything you can think of in the organization. So, but I mean, if I were the Titans, I'd still take that. I'd take that in a heartbeat. You show up on Sundays, we'll take it, Mike. But I'm not shocked. I feel bad for, Titans fans, just to add that to the pile of misery right now. But you also have to be happy for Mike Keith, because this is going home, and not just, where he kind of grew up. Of course, he went to college there. He had a great video yesterday that he put out where he's talking about being a 7-year-old and watching Stanley Morgan and watching Ernie and Bernie and all that stuff. But also, it's where he learned to be a great broadcaster from John Ward. I mean, those heartstrings are hard to beat, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to beat. And look, it was interesting because, as you know, Joe, there's a lot of combo Tennessee Titan, Tennessee Vols fans that we hear from on a pretty regular basis. And the kind of the combination of those two things yesterday was interesting. On the one hand, like, the combo Tennessee Titan Vol fan was ecstatic that he was going to be the next voice of the Vols. And then it was like, oh my goodness, he's leaving the Titans. I don't know how to feel about that. Like, it's a weird kind of thing for those people. I'll say this, like, I have not had a ton of interactions with Mike Keith in my lifetime. Like, I just haven't been around the Titans as much, because I've spent most of my professional career covering the Nashville Predators. So, but I have spent some time around Mike Keith, and I could pretty much just echo in my limited dealings with him what I think everybody has said, where, yeah, he's a really good play-by-play guy. He's an awesome dude. Like, he's a better guy from the limited dealings that I've had with him. And that's been pretty much the universal consensus on him. Joe, you know him better than I do, and I'll let you speak more to that. But, I've probably had, I don't know, anywhere from 5 to 10 conversations with him in my life, all of which have been very, very pleasant.
No, yeah, he's, look, he's one of those guys you're gonna have a hard time finding someone who dislikes him or has an issue with him. He doesn't big time anybody. He helps anybody he can help. It's what anybody you would hope for anybody who is in his position, but it's not everybody in his position. So, no, I mean, he's a tremendous guy, and he deserves this. And you mentioned the Vols Titans fan. So Joey Garrison, who I worked with, covers the White House, USA Today, I worked with at the Tennessean. He's the combo Titans Vanderbilt fan.
Yeah.
Now that person is like, oh my God. And he had a tweet yesterday just said, crushing news for Titans fans. And I was like, I almost tweeted at him, well, not as crushing for the people who hate, who love your rival, but yes. Yeah. You know, and that's, but yeah, I mean, look, it's going to be interesting who the Titans get. And also it's going to be, I think, it's great for Vols fans. You know, the basketball element of this too, you know, that's something that, you know, a lot of like college programs, you'll have like someone like the play-by-play football announcer might help with basketball, do the pregame or whatever. You know, you don't see a lot of like play-by-play for both of them from what I've seen. And that's grueling. You know, that's a lot, but man, that is going to be awesome. And you know, and obviously, it's been good for Tennessee fans, but I mean, this is I think just Mike Keith, he just brings an excitement level. He just has an incredible knack for the big call, and I think he's gonna just want. It's one more thing, and I give credit to Danny White because even though there's heartstrings here, you know, there's no way that this was easy either for Mike, and so I give credit to Danny White for making this happen, making another thing happen for Tennessee fans.
Yep, no doubt about that. Cody on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says Amy Adams Strunk is ripping this organization apart to its core with her ineptitude. The bodies laying in his wake needs to be studied here. We're going to get into some of that coming up next. So, Joe, I feel like there are some Titans fans out there that are taking the Mike Keith news harder than anything else that we've discussed this week. We'll get more into that coming up next. Take your reaction to Mike Keith leaving the Titans and heading to the Tennessee Vols. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Mike Keith leaving the Titans to become the next voice of the Tennessee Volunteers. Joe, I said it in the last segment. I feel like some Titans fans yesterday have taken this news of Mike Keith's departure maybe harder than anything else we've seen. That includes the 3-14 football season, the firing of Rand Carthon, the dysfunction of some of the organization. It's a tough week to be a Tennessee Titans fan. Like Chuck on the YouTube chat says, the only constantly good thing the Titans had is now gone. But looking forward to listening to him with the Vols here. I mean, it's the hits just keep coming for Titans fans. Hey, look, I'm really happy for Mike Keith. Obviously, this is a dream thing for him, and I'm really excited for him to see how it goes. But for the Titan fan who, you know, you're not going to find probably anybody in an organization that was more universally popular than Mike Keith was, for a Titans fan to add that onto this week and everything that's gone on this week is pretty incredible. Like, it's just one sucker punch right after the other.
Well, look, I mean, fans fall in love with coaches, players, and sometimes, you know, that can last a long time, you know, a good decade, sometimes more the player and sometimes more than that with the coach. But I mean, for 40, or probably close to 40 years of my life, if Ernie Harwell left the Detroit Tigers, especially, you know, to go call games for another team, I would have been absolutely devastated. It was a complete crisis in the state of Michigan when Bo Schembechler fired Ernie Harwell because he wanted a homer baseball. And so we're like, so you don't get that he's like the greatest announcer ever? I mean, it was like full newspapers full of letter writing campaigns and pure like anger. I mean, this is like how you tie people to a sports team.
Yeah.
Again, just like John Ward, right? Like, I mean, that he meant so much to generations of Vols fans. So, I mean, I get it. Now, on the point of the last texter, Robbie, before we went to break, I mean, look, I don't know anything on this, on the decision-making process. I did hear Stilly, of course, bring this up. Of course he did. I have a hard time believing that that, like, you know, the state of the team. And even, I mean, it's fair to point out that, like, you know, some of their longtime employees have been let go. Paul Kaharsky talked about that earlier this week, right?
Yeah.
That can't be fun to watch, of course. I mean, look, if Mike Keith's, he would never say anything publicly. If he's being honest, I'm sure there's times when he's been like, really, Amy? Really? Sure. Like, anybody in that building. But I think this is about the Vols. I do. I think that even if times were good for Tennessee, this would be the one time in his life where this is possible. And I'd be willing to bet that this could be a number one seed Titans of 3 years ago, and he'd make the same choice.
Well, let's be clear. This is not a decision that was made this week. Like, this is, yes, this is clearly, not, you know, something that's been in the works here. Like, these things just don't come together this quickly. So, you know, it's not like he saw all these people get fired earlier this week and was like, well, that's it. I'm going to the Vols. Like, I think the decision was made well before that. Now, having said that, like, I do, you know, I'm totally with you. Like, I think this is more about, like, the Vols part of this than it is anything else. But I do wonder if, like, the extra nudge on that, like, if he was ever having any doubts about leaving the Titans, do you look around and say, you know what, there's just a lot of weird stuff going on around here lately, and maybe it's better just to go ahead and get out. I don't know, but I do think, especially, I don't know if you saw this, but he sat down with Brent Hubbs of VolQuest, yeah, and kind of went through some of that. And you could see it on his face, like the emotional tie to his father and his family, and obviously his younger days of going there. I mean, this is a pretty unique situation for him going back to Tennessee.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, like, I'm sure this is a life decision, so you probably I like pros and cons lists.
Sure.
You know, had decisions in my life where I'd put a pros and cons list.
I'm like working with me.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know.
Cons, it's early in the morning. Con, this guy can get really angry sometimes when he doesn't have caffeine. Pro, he doesn't have hair, and I do, so I look better.
My lettuce looks good. My lettuce looks good by comparison. Thank you, Nick. I was going to say, Katie had a pros and cons list, too, with me. It was, like, very heavily weighted one way or the other. I'll let you guess which way it was on Marry Me. But yeah, I'm sure you're doing that list, and you make note of it. Like, man, it's rough around here. Also, I mean, there have been different eras of Tennessee athletics, right, where you're wondering about the AD, you're wondering about the president, chancellor, and board, and, you know, and you're and wondering what's going on with the football program. And, I mean, this is the best. I mean, look, I know football just lost to Ohio State, and there's some, you know, are they going to be able to get over the hump? They made the college football playoff and got a national championship baseball program, et cetera, et cetera. They're still number one. They are still number one, the basketball program. I mean, it's an incredible time, too. So I'm sure that also, when it, like, the leadership looks good, everything is going great, you know, for the most part, big picture for the Vols. But, yeah, I think those still are probably – down the list, it would be my guess. You know, it's, I mean, I, one big thing here is, like, I mean, moving, right? I mean, even though, I mean, that is a big deal to move out of here. Although I suppose, you know, selling a house here right now would be fun.
Well, there is that. I mean, I heard you, and a lot of people, like, I showed up at Preds practice yesterday, and this is all people were talking about, like, was Mike Keith going from the Titans to the Vols. And people were asking me, they were like, you know, do you think he could have done both? And I was like, I just think that would be really hard. Like, I think it would be really hard. Like, what are you going to do if you're, like, at Tennessee at Alabama on a Saturday night at 7 o'clock and the Titans are playing in Arizona the next day? Like, are you, like, what's it? I just think the schedule with those two jobs could be really demanding. And as you said, Joe, it's not like Mike Keith was just a play-by-play guy with the Titans. Like, he did a lot of things in that building, and that would totally have changed what he did over there. And I think some of the things that he did with the Titans, whether it's, you know, coaches shows or content behind the scenes or narration on things, like, he's going to do that at Tennessee. So I just think it would have been really, really difficult to pull both of those off, given the fact that Knoxville's 3 hours to the east.
Yeah. I'd be very interested to know like what kind of conversations were around that. It must have been at least thought about or discussed, you know. Going back to Michigan, my guy George Blaha is known as he is the voice of Michigan State football forever.
Yeah.
Going back to the 70s, he's the voice of the Detroit Pistons going back to the 70s. So he makes that work, but that's also so but you know, early season with Pistons stuff, someone fills in and it's I mean, you know, 82 games. That's, you know, that it's hard to like you got
that he really enjoyed last year, but that was a good time for him with the Pistons. Good stuff.
Oh, he's had quite a run. They're actually pretty good now. So go George. But, you know, I mean, that's one of those. I feel like that, you know, you're going to have some subs, you know, for hoops, whatever. Football, you got to, I mean, I guess, you know, that'd be interesting. You know, it's like how good is one team or the other?
Yeah.
You know, like if the Titans have a huge early season game on the West Coast and they're good and the Vols have UTEP at home. You know, like, is that one where you take off, you know, but yeah, all the other extra stuff, he's a huge part. Again, he's like the primary ambassador of that franchise. So, and that's, he's going to be that for the Vols too, by the way. He'll be at all of those caravans and all that stuff. And I mean, he will be a fundraiser, whether that's directly his title. You know, no, it's not going to be his title, but he will be a fundraiser for Tennessee without question.
Yep, no doubt about that. So who's going to be the next play-by-play guy for the Titans? Like, that's going to be interesting to see. Like, Jared had his hot board yesterday. I heard some of those names. You talk about some big shoes to fill. Not that that doesn't happen in broadcasting, but I'm interested to see now where the Titans go from here.
Well, I'm also I'm intrigued by, you know, the argument that you and Jared had.
Well, we did have an argument about which job is a better job. Like, is it a better job to be the play-by-play guy for the Titans or for the Vols? And some interesting points on both sides. We'll get into that coming up next. We'll see where Rex Road falls on that argument. Take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Stillman will be with us later in the program at 7 o'clock. We'll get his thoughts on all things Titans as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. I got some tickets to give away. A pair of tickets to see Belmont women's basketball as they take on Valparaiso at the Fisher Center on Sunday. Be caller number 3-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Belmont women's basketball coming up on Sunday at the Fisher Center. So, Joe, discussing the Mike Keith part of this, leaving from the Titans to be the next voice of the Tennessee Vols. Jared and I got into a text battle yesterday about which job is a better job. Now, he's basically of the opinion that the Titans job is a better job because it's an NFL job. And, you know, he brought up the example of, like, he wouldn't leave what he's doing in this city to go do what he did in Louisville. And the fact that it's a pro job makes it a better job. My standpoint of it is this. Like, I don't think all pro and college jobs are created equal, right? Like, to me, it's one thing to be the play-by-play voice of the Dallas Cowboys. It's another thing to be the play-by-play voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Both good jobs. Not trying to take a shot at the Jacksonville Jaguars broadcast team. I'm just saying that they're not all created equal there. I don't think all college jobs are created equal. And I look at the Tennessee play-by-play job. There have been four pretty legendary voices. He brought up the chief one in John Ward and what he did there for 30 years in the broadcast booth. You have a football program specifically that's pretty steep in tradition there, and they're starting to kind of build back up to maybe add to that. But throughout the, you know, the last 100-plus years, there's a lot of tradition with Tennessee football. I just look at it. I think there are more people around the state that care about Tennessee football than care about Titans football. Probably not in the Nashville area, but I think around the state, that is true. There are more people that care about Tennessee football than care about Titans football. So with all of those things in mind, Joe, I am of the opinion that Mike Keith is leaving the Titans for a better job with the Tennessee Vols radio network. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think if we're going strictly by, like, moving the needle, right? then I have to agree with you. I mean, again, some of that is just time, as we've talked about. In fact, I'd love to. This is one of those. It's just like we talk about sometimes. I'd love to know the full, you know, what the fan base really thinks about this or that. You know, what's the real consensus on this or that? I'd love to know the breakdown of how many people in Greater Nashville, you know, count up how many are passionate about the Titans, how many passionate about the Vols. I mean, I don't know. You maybe read that maybe more Titans, but I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that. I am sure that overall, Tennessee Volunteers have more fans than Tennessee Titans. So, I mean, let's go raw numbers. And again, you're talking about a century of fandom passed down versus a quarter century here with the Titans in Nashville. It's just, I mean, it's still a college football. This is a pro sports town, but it's still a college football state and region, right? And so I do, like, I hear Stilly on the 32 NFL jobs thing. I mean, they're all very coveted, without question, but there are also huge differences within them, as you said. And I think the 32 NFL jobs, and then there's, I don't know, like, 30. I don't know that there's 30. Maybe there's a little more than 30, but yeah, probably not. Like, it depends on how you want to tier it.
Yeah.
I think you could argue that Tennessee, even though Tennessee football may not be like a top 10 program right now, I got to think that this is a top 15 play-by-play job or right in there, I would say, in college football. And the very best, the very top level of college football, you know, it competes with, again, just about any NFL franchise other than, like you said, you know, your Cowboys and your Steelers and these franchises that have massive, like, bandwagon followings, right? Like, all over the place. So now, if you want to get into better job, if you want to look at it from different angles, you know, you could look at, I mean, the basketball, like, for me, as I get old, I got to say, like, travel gets less and less appealing. And Mike Keith is going to be like in Starkville on a Wednesday and in February and things like that. So, you know, from that perspective, like, there's more work here with this job calling the games. That would kind of excite me, especially with the state of the basketball program right now. You know, if they go back to like what they were before Rick Barnes, like between Rick Barnes and Bruce Pearl, well, that might not be so fun. Right. But, no, I would say just if we're strictly talking about what moves the needle, I'd have to side with you on that.
Yeah. Like, look, I do think I understand what Stilly's talking about with the pro job, right? Like, there are only 32 NFL jobs. So I understand that. I just don't think all these things are created. Like, people were calling into his show yesterday talking about, like, you know, the Falcons job as compared to the Georgia Bulldogs job, or like the USC play-by-play job compared to like the LA Chargers. Like, it's just there are certain fan bases in college football that I think compare to NFL fan bases and sometimes
dwarf. Or exceed.
Yeah, sometimes dwarf those NFL fan bases. So I think it all really depends on how you look at it. But like, I think Tennessee is one of those play-by-play jobs. When you factor in the history of the football program and, quite frankly, the history of the broadcast booth, like, it's a big deal. Like, Mike Keith is the fifth one they've ever had. It's a pretty big deal what he is about to go do. So, like, I think Tennessee's a better job. Look, do I think that Mike Keith was sitting here like, well, which one's a better job? And that's what I'll go with my decision? No. I think this was a pretty simple explanation for him that this is clearly a place with Tennessee that means a lot to him. Had he not taken this job now, he may have never had the opportunity to do it again. And I think it's pretty simple that Tennessee really aggressively pushed for him. So when you factor in all those things, like, I don't think it came down to like Mike Keith saying that, well, in the grand scheme of things, the Vols job's a better job than the Titans job. But, you know, Stillman was listing out all these reasons as to like why this was going down yesterday. And one thing that came into my mind was I do think this is a better job than the Titans play-by-play job.
Yeah. I mean, this is personal for him, but, you know, look, the NFL is the most popular sport. The NFL has done an incredible job of becoming that. And a lot of that is the cap and it is the parody and the product. It's an incredible television product, but it's, you know, it's like the way they have things, they have set it up. They've done it beautifully. They're dominant. But let's remember, Robert Nyland was doing things and carving out his legend before we knew what the hell the NFL was, before it existed, okay? Right. And it's just like you cannot – you just – with some of these programs, Notre Dame last night beats Penn State, you know, and Notre Dame in particular. There's a program that more than 100 years ago, I was like, and then new, like the newsreels, you go to like the theater, it's like, you know, it's like stuff that's like before – what, you guys are trying to create a pro football league? Yep. Like these – and that's, again, that's passed down from generations. So some of these places, I don't think you can match the passion of these fan bases, of these programs, like both of those programs. And again, a few other, a couple dozen others probably. Yeah. But even that at different tiers, and I'd put Tennessee ahead of a lot of them. So it's just, it's hard to compare, but because the NFL overall is the number one product does not mean that there aren't jobs in the NFL in this realm that aren't lesser than some college jobs.
Yeah. Skyler says, Robbie hates the Titans and loves the Vols. Of course, Robbie thinks the Vols is a better job. I mean, I do love the Vols. I'm not going to sit here and deny that. It's news to me that I hate the Titans, though. I don't think I hate the Titans. I want the Titans to do well. I just don't know when that's going to happen.
I mean, the Titans, you know, the Titans should be hated right now. And again, not necessarily permanently, but like if there were ever a time for Titans to have haters, this would be the time.
Yes. Ed says, doesn't an NFL broadcasting job give you access to more career progression opportunities? Mike did NFL Network for years. Others have started locally and are now on to national TV networks, etc.
There's no progression, man. I mean, I understand there's like national jobs. You get a play-by-play job. Like if you're in broadcasting and you get a play-by-play job for a primo team, I mean, I get it. Like you get more eyeballs on you if you like go on ESPN or something, but that's not, to me, that's not progression. And in many cases, it's not more money. If you are, you know, like, I guess it's a little bit of like big fish, smaller pond.
Yeah.
But like if you are a passionately followed, you know, announcer for a team, that as a broadcaster, to me, that's the height of the industry.
Yep. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More of your thoughts on Mike Keith coming up next. We'll get into some more Titans news as well. Jared Stillman will be with us at 7 o'clock. All that ahead. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning, monitoring the snow moving into our area. Joe, I'm watching some local news outlets here. It looks like the snow has moved into Franklin, according to some weather cameras that are out there. So just keep an eye. If you're out there traveling right now, be careful because the snow is starting to move into our area. We'll keep you updated on that throughout the program and throughout the day here today on 1025-1063 The Game. Talking Titans, we'll get into tomorrow all things Titans with Stilly coming up here in just a few minutes. Joe, I do want to get your thoughts on this. So Jonathan Jones, who covers the NFL for CBS, put this out there last night and said this, quote, sources, the NFL has reviewed the description of Titans GM position and the two sides have agreed that the vacant position will be the primary football executive post. Non-GMs cannot be blocked by their current teams from accepting interview requests. So we've laid out kind of the structure this week, Joe, of what this is going to look like with Chad Brinker leading the search and Chad Brinker ultimately having final say on the roster. It's interesting that this has now come up with Jonathan Jones because I guess some NFL teams were wondering, well, like, what exactly is this general manager role for the Titans? And can we block, let's say, our own assistant general manager on our staff from having an interview with the Titans, given the fact that this is not going to be your traditional general manager role? And apparently that will not be the case. And teams, non-GMs cannot be blocked by their current teams from accepting interview requests. What do you make of that news that Jonathan Jones put out there last night?
Right, so I have to assume then this also means the Titans are not going to be in any trouble. Right? It goes hand in hand.
I would assume that, yes.
Yeah, so, and that's an angle of this that we hadn't really discussed, but, yeah, you can't go you can't, as a team in the NFL, go try to hire someone's, you know, offensive coordinator, you know, like the rules are, like the, or the team has to give the blessing. Like, you can't, like, lateral moves, right?
Right.
You can't pluck people away. Like in college football, obviously, it's just, you know, people just go poach whoever they want from whatever staff. The NFL has rules on that, including in the front office. So the Titans have talked them into this being the quote unquote real GM job. I still am not going to consider it that. That's just my choice. We can all choose however we want to view this. I'm still calling it assistant to the regional manager, but that's good news for the Titans for sure. Now, does it mean that they're going to get any of these? You know, does that help them, you know, convince someone other than, you know, a friend of Chad Brinker to take this job? I don't know, but at least, you know, they can do that. And also, I think it has to mean that, you know, they're not going to be in any sort of trouble here in terms of violating the Rooney Rule.
Well, it certainly means that you've now got a deeper pool of options, right? Like, yeah. You know, you've got a much deeper pool that you can look at with this having been the case. Now, after we talked with Charles Robinson yesterday, and by the way, if you missed that, check it out, Robbie and Rex Road, wherever you get your podcast. But after talking with him yesterday, like, you know, he basically said that he would be stunned if the hire at general manager isn't either somebody that Chad Brinker has worked directly with before or that he knows really, really well, right? Like, and that's not necessarily uncommon around right. the NFL. But, like, I also... And another point that was brought up that's pretty interesting to think about. You know, a lot of Titans fans, when they look at this, they're going to want like a Rick Spielman type or a Thomas Dimitroff, guys that have been around the league, that have been general managers before, that have experience. I mean, how often have we heard that over the last few weeks kind of talking about this, is they need guys coming in with experience. And I get that. One point Charles brought up, which I think is interesting to think about. Like, if you're Chad Brinker, do you want to do that? Not only from the standpoint of, you know, bringing somebody in that you maybe are unfamiliar with, but also from the standpoint of, like, we've seen it with this owner. It doesn't take her very long to, like, shift her loyalty and change her mind as to who she's listening to and who she trusts moving forward. And do you want to bring somebody in that maybe isn't necessarily loyal to you, quote unquote, and could have the ear of the owner? Like, that's a really interesting point that Charles brought up yesterday, which is kind of amazing that we're discussing with an NFL franchise, but it is an NFL franchise comprised of people, and those things happen.
Yeah. Well, this isn't the first NFL franchise where there's palace intrigue, you know, however you want to look at it, or, right. there, or there's, you know, an owner who, again, apparently, however you want to describe that, but it is like a flavor of the month type thing. So obviously she was very impressed with Chad Brinker. And yeah, I think what Charles brought up in terms of his breadth of knowledge was key. You know, I also think that this is in contrast to Rand. I've got talk about that a little bit later in the show. You know, there's a, and Charles touched on that too a little bit, but it does seem like if you're Brinker, someone with demonstrated loyalty to you would probably be good here. Because you just never know how it's going to go with a new person, and a new person who has some skins on the wall in particular. You know, that could end up being this is actually where the thing needs to go if things don't go well. Which, yeah. You know, look, I mean, next year it's hard for me to get to Titans making a huge turnaround. I have no idea who's quarterback in the Titans. But as of now, I don't see an option where it's likely, with all the other challenges on this roster, that said quarterback is going to all of a sudden engineer a 9-10 win season. So, you know, I think we're going to be right back in this, you know, where are things going? And then, you know, as we've talked about, I mean, look, right now, I would worry for Brian Callahan. I think the pressure is just tremendously on him. As you look at the whole picture of this, for sure. And I think Chad Brinker has managed to insulate himself incredibly through all this. But I still would be, if I were him, probably looking for a pal.
Well, and if you're a Titans fan, you hear all that and you say, well, that's great. You know, Chad Brinker looking out for himself, all that stuff, that's awesome. That doesn't appeal to me. Like, if I'm a Titans fan, like, I want the best person for the job.
Yeah.
So I guess my question moving forward is, you know, operating from that standpoint, how attractive is the job? Because it's still difficult for me to believe that for an experienced general manager, like some of the guys we've just thrown out there, that it's going to be an overly attractive job given the fact that you don't have final say on the roster. Now, having said that, could it be a way for some of these guys to get back in the game?
Exactly.
Maybe. Could it be, you know, for some of the other candidates that we're talking about that are assistant general managers elsewhere? No, you would not come in here and have final say over the roster. But it would be an elevation in your title, and you would be technically the general manager of an NFL football team. So how much do you think those two things matter when it comes to the attractiveness of this job?
Yeah, well, this goes back to someone yesterday asked about this, and it's a good question, but I think you hit it right there, Robbie, which is retread GMs. We've talked about it many times. That retread GMs don't often get back in the game. It's hard. Or that they do, they get back, you know, they get back in as a scout somewhere, and very rarely do you see the former GM who at some point got fired become a GM again. You see it with coaches, but you don't see it nearly as much with GM. So I do think that someone like that could be attracted to the job. Again, that is Brinker. Does Brinker like that idea, or does he like someone who he's worked with? You know, I think it's great to, you know, if you're the Titans, you want all the, you know, have all these people interviewed, and you want some names that people know being interviewed, but who does Brinker really want? And then, and if it's someone like that, well, then to me, it is the relationship is a lot of it, right? I mean, look, right now, Brinker doesn't look good, I think, to the outside world in this whole thing. But if you are loyal to Brinker, have a good relationship with him, believe in him, well, then you could look at this as a step up and an opportunity for you. I'd also just still be hesitant because of the owner. You know, separate from Brinker, you still have to wonder about the owner of the team and what her next impulse might be.
I'm interested. I'm going to ask TD this question a little bit later, because I heard him talking about this very briefly with Jared yesterday. But I do wonder, one thing we've not talked about here, you know, Chad Brinker was with the Packers for a long time and spent some time with Aaron Rodgers. Does it make the Aaron Rodgers to the Titans option more credible, more likely with Chad Brinker now in charge? I'm interested to see what that looks like.
Yeah, I wouldn't dismiss it. Yeah. You know, I mean, PK, you know, gave Titans fans the great service of tweeting out a quote from Matt LaFleur calling Brinker a stud. I'm sure people were really excited. Oh, wow, I feel better about things. Thanks, PK. But, you know, does Aaron Rodgers like Brinker, vice versa? I mean, if so, then, yeah. Look, the options are
limited.
They are. They're limited. I mean, I wouldn't be excited about Aaron Rodgers coming here, but you have to consider it a possibility, and I would think it'd be a little bit more likely now.
Boy, I'd be excited for the purposes of our radio program. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Jared Stillman will join us coming up next. We'll get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.